This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're not even celebrating Christmas. That's how bad that was.
Canceled.
Last night.
Christmas is canceled too.
What? What in the name of God?
Well,
is wrong?
I feel bad for you guys. I'm going to enjoy my Christmas.
We canceled it. What is wrong with this offense? What? Why is it the play calling? Is it the fact that they can't run the football for their lives? Is it the offensive line? The quarterback change doesn't seem to have made a huge difference? Is it the quality of opponent? What's wrong?
Yeah, they just they lack any kind of explosive player. They lack a dominant offensive lineman. You go across the board, they don't have a ton of talent on their offense. And when you see a guy like Cole Kmet and he catches a 38-yard gain, of course, on an I formation play action pass, and then he doesn't get any other plays, him and Mooney are probably besides, you know, Allen Robinson, but Ramsey's on them all game. He's going to take him away. But him and Mooney in that game are probably their most explosive players. So they don't have a lot of explosive players. You talk about the offensive line. We all knew it was a problem going into the offseason last year. So they draft two guys in the seventh round, and they bring you Ifedi and Spriggs. They fire the O-line coach and try to convince you that they're going to bring in another O-line coach that's going to fix it. But the NFL is about two things. It's about coaching and it's about talent. And you got to have guys who can dominate and play inside. They lose James Daniels. We talked about that, how much that would hurt them. They lost their second best football player on offense, in my opinion. Then they lose Cody Whitehair, late in the game last night. And it's just not really a shock, guys, that they're struggling on offense, especially because if you go in against what many consider the best defensive lineman in the NFL, interior at least, and you don't run any screens or draws or counters to try to slow him down or throw him off. So then scheme-wise, you have a problem with what you're trying to run, because that scheme insists, if you look at the success of that scheme, it insists that you have explosive plays and or at least a top two or three quarterback in the NFL to run it.
Yeah, you don't need to run it right at the best player in football. That's not really a good strategy.
Well, I know Greasy said that a lot last night, but that is somewhat of what you do to Aaron Donald. You try to run downhill at him to slow him down. So I'm not totally against that. Obviously, you don't want to major in it, but you do have to take the fight to him sometimes and can't just keep running away from him. But that's one thing where I will disagree with Greasy last night.
Well, you mentioned your former teammate, Brian Greasy, and so last night he had the thing that he shared with Nick Foles, told him, you didn't sound convinced after on the postgame show that you bought what Brian Greasy was selling necessarily. Why is that, and how did you interpret what he said?
Well, there's two things there. What was actually said and what Greasy said, you know, who you believe in this is really up to you. I'm not going to believe 100% of what Greasy says. But another thing is that when you're a former player talking to a former player, some of the things you say, and Foles could have said that sometimes plays get called, you know, just kind of two quarterbacks complaining to each other about what's going on with them in the offense, and a quarterback saying that, look, if I just had the time, I could make that play. It's not crazy to think, right? It's not crazy for a quarterback to say that, because, look, if you listen to Troy Aikman or any quarterback former quarterback duo a game, a color analyst, that's all they say. Well, if this guy had the time here, if this guy had the time there. And that's just seeing the game through a quarterback's perspective. But I don't think Foles ever said that thinking Greasy would actually say it on television. So lesson learned from Nick Foles. But, you know, Greasy is, he gives you a point of view from a guy who is an average to below average quarterback. And, you know, those kind of guys seem to think that if they just had more time and their O-lineman was getting them killed the whole game, and that's the perspective you get from a Brian Greasy, and the Bears O-line did struggle last night, so that's what you heard a lot of.
I think that definition, average to below average, basically he was a Bears quarterback is what you're saying, right?
Look, it's just when you're watching that offense last night, and we talked about many times on this show, right? We talked about if you go through the Bears offense starter for starter, you know that they just don't have a guy who is explosive. I mean, even if there's some plays, guys, and it's not a lot, obviously, because the O-line is getting beat up there, but there's some plays where you would imagine that Montgomery would take it to the edge and they sealed the edge and he'd get outside and get down the field for 15 or 20 yards, and they still only get 3 or 4 yards. So they just don't have a lot of explosion on that offense. They talk about caring about the running game, but then they don't bring you any offensive linemen. They don't draft any offensive linemen to the 7th round, and they suit up Cordarrelle Patterson and Ryan Nall as their backup running backs. Oh. And it's just hard to take them serious when all that's going on. And then they talk to you about how running the ball is important.
So, Olin, you said the NFL is all about coaching and talent. You can't control the talent, but you can control the coaching. How does Matt Nagy prevent one loss from mushrooming into a trend or making it more than it was?
Yeah, and that's the hard part about, you know, he being the head coach and the offensive coordinator, right? How do you separate those two responsibilities? Because you could see on the field last night a little frustration towards the sideline. I can't remember exactly what quarter it was, but the Bears were kind of in a no-huddle offense, and then I think Coach Nagy wanted them to huddle up, and there was frustration from Miller and Robinson, who wanted to put a tempo on them, kind of like the Rams did on their first touchdown when they quick-snapped the Bears and got themselves an advantage there. And those are the kind of things the Chicago Bears offense needs. They need to find advantages either with tempo or trying to confuse the defense, because you're not just going to line up with the guys you got and dominate the people in front of you. So they got to get in a room. And, you know, I know it sounds crazy, you know, cliche-ish, but they got to be better than the sum of their parts. We talked about this last week. They can't have a holding on a Fetty, right? They can't be moving the ball and get one first down. And I think it was on 2nd and 1 that they got a holding on a Fetty. That sets them back. Right there, you know that drive is finished. It's over, because they don't have the kind of talent to overcome that. You can't get an offsides or a false start penalty on Rashad Coward when you're trying to sneak it for a first down on 4th and 1 to change the game. So that offense, they cannot make mistakes. They got to find advantages through coaching and scheme and tempo and counters and screens and try to find explosive plays somewhere. They got to get a little more protection. You know, they cannot, you know, things you cannot do. You cannot finally call a max protection on 39 in the 2nd quarter, hit Wims on a sideline. He's 1 yard from the first down. He gets stopped by Ramsey. He's got to lower his shoulder. He's got to get up the field. He's got to get that first down. So those are the kind of things, if they want to beat a team, probably a playoff team like the Rams, they're going to have to execute better, because they just don't have the guys that can overcome mistakes right now in their offense.
They are going to be a playoff team, right? It's just a question of what they can do in the playoffs. I think starting the way they have, it doesn't seem like a big ask to make the playoffs.
Yeah, and if you're a Chicago, you know, if you're the Chicago Bears today and you go in that building, you know, and you watch the film, you say to yourself, well, man, it's 10-3. If we pick up that fumble from Khalil Mack when he causes that fumble in the 3rd quarter, right, if we recover that, man, we're in good position. But, of course, the much-heralded punter now puts them at their offense at the 1-yard line. And it's just, you know, it's just a tough, you know, our offense gets the ball at the 1-yard line. And hopefully there's another punt returner out there we can look at. But our offense gets the ball at the 1-yard line. you just know already that not much good is going to happen down there for us on offense. So they are, and the way this team is going to win games is that this defense has got to get turnovers. There was a play last night, Tayshaun Gibson could have came downhill and picked one off, and instead he slapped it to the ground. Those are the kind of plays that this offense needs from their defense to be in the game. And they got to look at this game. And look, the Rams just got beat up physically. They got embarrassed by the 49ers last week. So the Bears get their game this week, where the Rams came out with a chip on their shoulder. They came out, hitting hard, playing at a playoff tempo. Brandon Staley, former Bears outside linebacker coach, Vic Fangio guy, putting on Coach Nagy. So they all got embarrassed last night. Defense did not stop the run. That's what you start to worry about late in the year. We can't run the ball, and we can't stop the run. That's a big problem as you move toward late in the season. So these are things that hopefully the defense can carry this team a little more. We got to get a little more help on special teams, get this offense in good positions. And then that's the way, guys. That's the way they're going to win games. And if they don't pick up that fumble that Matt causes, he causes a big play there, causes a sack fumble, then everything else is just uphill.
Great stuff, Olin. Thank you, buddy.
Great
stuff. Appreciate
you
guys.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the Free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.